Chapter 10, Jeremiah, verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile, for one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. You know why they can't do either? Because they're not real. They're the work of a person's hands. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods with a little g, that have not made the heavens and the earth, shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power, being the one true God. He has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. So is it really that big a deal, church? Is it really that big a deal that they teach evolution in every public school in the United States? Do you think it's really that big a deal? I think it's huge. Because whenever you read the Bible and you read a scripture like this, it is making it very clear that God himself distinguishes that the one main proof of who he is that he is Creator God. He's the one who created it. He's the one that sustains it. He's the one that makes it happen. He is the God who made the heavens and the earth. It is such an insult to him. It is such an unbelievable violence to the nature of God to say that he had nothing to do with it. And we wonder why everything is falling apart at the seams. You don't have to wonder. It is a big deal. And I can tell you, I think it is a deal breaker. I think if we continue to go down this course and continue to deny that truth and continue to suppress it, I'm telling you, you've got Christians setting and teaching these science classes that are allowing it to happen and going along with it. And I'm telling you, I really believe we are being judged. If you start looking at where does racism come from, it comes from this denial of God being the creator, and it is encouraged and perpetuated by this thing that we all just evolved from slime, and they use that to excuse and say certain races of people were further down the evolutionary scale, so they're worthless. You start thinking about the whole issue of abortion. If you don't believe and you're not fully established that God is the creator of every individual human being, but that we are just the result of processes, and it's this impersonal thing, that's how you can get mothers saying, I don't want to be bothered with a child right now, And so I'm going to kill it before it really becomes a child. Do you understand the implications? And I think that we are living it out and we're seeing it in full color. You go from that to, oh, well, I am the result of processes. And I think that in the processes, some wires got crossed. I'm not the right gender. Can you see how now we can give ourselves permission to change it? But if we come from the absolute established fact that God made me and he made me with a purpose, then it's not okay for me to change it. Do you understand my point? I mean, I've been really like focusing on this and boiling it backwards. And so many things go wrong whenever we begin to accept this evolutionary teaching and let it challenge God's personhood in the creation, his absolute authority. You see, we wonder why certain things are not going like that they should be in the schools. Well, if you teach people that it's survival of the fittest, and somebody feels like they're the fittest, you're going to be teaching them that they can do what they want to whoever. It is really time, it is high time that we begin to take back the territory. You might say, well, how can we do that? Well, first of all, we do have local school boards. And our local school boards can begin to take back our schools. There was some experiences years ago, like where certain schools didn't teach curriculum that was up to standards. And so we stepped in and we made everything go back to the one main school board for the state. And then that went on, then that got taken under some control by the school board, you know, or the administrations of the president that was over education. And that's how we've got all this stuff being mandated that our local schools are not in agreement with. And you know what happens whenever you talk to local school leaders? We can't challenge it, they'll say. We got to have their money. I say, let's downsize. Let's take less money. Let's begin to take back the schools. We need to be praying as a church and as Christians that this territory is taken back by a true belief, and at least the competing discussion that it is a belief that God created everything, that the earth is much younger than what these evolutionists want to say. And I can tell you there's much more proof for that than what there is for this evolution nonsense. You know, it hits me hard whenever I hear these words. Listen to verse 11 again and think about this. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. And then in verse 12, he, being God, has made the earth by his power. There's no discussion about it. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. You know, I'm astounded by how many people that attribute these things to so many other elements that would be causing it. God has control. I've actually talked to preachers that have told me that they think that Satan is the one who's in control of storms and things of that nature because he's called the prince of the power of the air. You know, he cannot do anything without God's permission. He has no autonomy. He has no authority unless God has given him some limited authority. You know, after Katrina, there were some who suggested that maybe that would be a wake-up call for the people in New Orleans. And, you know, because there is such grave immorality in that place. And the pastor that I had, a really sweet guy, I love him to death, went on a mission trip down there with him, changed my life. But he said, you know why there was a storm down there? Because warm air hit cold air, and that's all there was to it. I thought that was sad, that a Christian pastor would be telling his congregation that. I don't want to, you know, take up this mantle with pitchforks and spears and go down there and say, you deserved what you got. No, I want to go with love and say, we're here to help heal, but I want you to know God is the way that you can be healed. You know, and present Jesus. The first person I was ever involved in leading to the Lord was in the streets of New Orleans. Praise God that God allowed me to be part of that. What a wonderful experience. I'm forever addicted to seeing people come to Jesus. That's where it started. That's an opportunity. If we truly believe judgment has come, then we are to minister. You know, you got to remember what the book of Jeremiah is here for. It is telling Israel why judgment has come. And one of the reasons why judgment had come upon them is because they were denying his authority over his creation. They were attributing some power to these idols. They were going ahead and worshiping them too, hedging their bets, saying, well, you know, just in case this whole God thing isn't the only way, we'll go ahead and worship over here too. And look, God must be okay with it because he hasn't laid the smack down on us yet. You know why God hadn't laid smack down yet? It's because he's patient, because he's merciful. He's way more merciful than us. Praise God for that, amen? My dad used to have a saying, don't ever mistake silence for agreement. It was a wise saying. Just because somebody isn't saying something doesn't mean that they're agreeing with you. And I think we have mistakenly thought that because God is silent, he agrees. In our nation here today, as they did in that day, they were getting by with it, and they were thinking, well, nothing bad's happened so far. I mean, look, you know, the Assyrians came in and took over all Israel, but they didn't take Jerusalem. So we must be doing okay over here. And they continued in their idolatry. I mean, this is the purest form of idolatry. They actually have literal idols. But can you think of some idols that we have? Name a few of them off. Money, sports. How about entertainment? How about this whole Taylor Swift deal, right? I mean, can you believe that people, that she is a probably billionaire? I don't know. All because she performs in front of some people? I think she's a disgrace. People are shocked to see that she hangs out with Satanists. Well, I can tell you, birds of a feather flock together. I don't think that's just by chance. It's sad. And how many millions of people, I've even been to church services where I heard a preacher quoting Taylor Swift lines. God help us whenever we get to the point that the entertainment industry is what we're following. If I listened to Taylor Swift or whatever her name is, if I was a Swiftie, I would be ashamed of it. I wouldn't want you to know. It's sickening to me. And I think that instead of having these idols, isn't that where she got her start anyways? I don't know. Wasn't it like American Idol? I don't know. I can't. Maybe. I don't know. I'm glad nobody here knows much about her. You guys are probably afraid. Don't say anything about her. No, I mean, it makes me sick how much money that we spend. How about a football game? This Mahomes guy. God bless him. How much did he sign a contract for? $100 million? There's no person on planet Earth worth that. $100 million contract because he can throw a football? And we won't save starving people and send money to other nations. I mean, we could cure all the hunger problems in an entire nation with that much money. It's ridiculous to me. What the kind of things that we worship. Yes, that's a worship. If we even acted half that excited whenever we talked about Jesus in the church, what would it be like to go to church on a Sunday morning? You let some person throw a touchdown pass and 40,000 fans erupt in worship. Why don't we worship Jesus like that? He's the real God. He is the real, the only true living God who can do anything for us. Look at what it says. I love this, you know, how it describes when he utters his voice in verse 13, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of the treasuries, out of his treasuries. He owns them. In verse 14, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. You notice how this morning I talked a little bit about the city of Ephesus, that's where Paul was challenged because of the whole issue with the temple, Diana, and Artemis of the Ephesians, and you know that was all connected and all. And do y'all remember how that whole uproar started, if you remember that story from the New Testament? It was the silversmith union, the guild makers union. And the silversmith said, you know what? If he keeps doing this, our trade's going to be, we're losing money. Was he really worried about purifying a religion and holding on to something that was real? No. He was worried about his pocketbook. He knew it wasn't real. He was the one that was creating the silly things. He knew there wasn't anything real about them. They were just a creation of his hand that he was making money off of. It says here that he was a fool. He was dull-hearted and without knowledge. Speaks of him even before he existed yet. But God knew him. And God knows that it's all like that. You know, Satan just uses us to make a mockery out of God if we will allow him to. That's all he's really about. And you know, whenever we join in with idolatry, that's exactly what we're doing. And whenever he keeps on, he says, every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. But listen to what he says next in verse 16. The portion of Jacob is not like them. Why is it capitalized, portion of Jacob? It's one of his names. What was Jacob's portion? God. He was chosen of God to be the beginning of the nation of Israel. That from his name, his new name, Prince, that new name that he was given, Israel, he got to be. That was his portion, was to be chosen of God. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up your wares from the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out at this time the inhabitants of the land, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me, for my heart hurt. My wound is severe. But I say truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore or set up my curtains, for the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Destruction was coming. And you know why it was coming? Is because they had turned away from God. They had turned to idols, and there wasn't anybody left to turn them back. When we get to the point that the truth is no longer preached, then we're going to run out of time. We really need to pray that we will be the ones that will uphold the truth. How can we counter some of the things that are going on in our land right now, do you think? Sharing the Word of God. That's the first thing. Just share the Word of God. Do it in the spirit of love. But share. Share about salvation. Share about God's standards. What kind of standards does God put down? You know, here's the thing. You're not going to be celebrated for doing this at first. But it could be for the salvation of many. So what kind of standards does God place there? How about for family? Well, what is marriage supposed to look like? Yeah. One man, one woman with the intention of for life, right? To bring up godly offspring. You know, we're told that we are being bigots and it's almost a child abuse to take our children to church now. Are you going to stop doing it just because they say that? No. I hope not. In fact, as you do it, you should present that to others as a good thing. Who cares if they say that we don't know what we're talking about? Are you really worshiping the true living God? Is he really the only God? Is he the one who made heaven and earth? Is he the one who has given you life and breath? Is he the one who sustains you? If the answer is yes, then we should not be ashamed of him. Is he the one who has saved you and giving you, you're gonna have a new name in heaven and a place in heaven that he's preparing for you right now? If the answer to all those questions is a resounding yes, then we should not be ashamed of him. We should stand firm. We should do it lovingly. We should do it winsomely. We should invite others to join in. We should be an inclusive body. You know, when they first come, they're not going to look like us. They're not going to smell like us. They're not going to act like us. They don't know how. So we need to be patient. So why? I mean, it's just really interesting, you know, what it's like to bring a person from a completely different lifestyle into Christianity. Have you watched it happen? Okay? And now I want to ask you, some of us were born into Christianity a little later on in life. Do you remember what it was like for you? I pray to God that I never forget, because I want to be able to be patient with people who don't get it. I didn't get your language, our language now. I didn't get why you dressed the way that you did. I didn't get why you acted the way you did. I didn't get why in the world would people even want to go to church every Sunday. They must be fanatics. I'm not getting many amens. I mean, nuts, why would anybody give up every Sunday of their life? I went fishing on Sunday and I liked it. Try to convince me to go to church. It was a waste of time. And if I wasn't going fishing, before that I was working because I needed the money. So try to convince me to go to church. No, I was going to have to meet the living God before I could be convinced to go to church. And it wasn't until after I had an experience with God that then I went, oh, I really need to try to learn more about him. I need to get with other people that believe this. And you know what? Good churches are a little harder to find than what you might think. I've been to a few churches and trying to figure it out, and I'll tell you what, it's a scary proposition. And after I got burned after a year in one of them, I was thinking, I wasted a whole year of my life. And then really got my feelings hurt. Now try to convince me to go to church. You see, you got to kind of remember that that's what other people are going through. For whatever reason. Maybe, you know, some of the pain I brought on myself. Yeah, it's true. Some of the pain they're going to bring on themselves, and we'll recognize it. But don't look down on them. Be patient with them. Keep inviting them in. Don't lower the standard. The standard is still the same. God makes the standard. We don't apologize for it. But I can tell you, for people to come out of that lifestyle, they're going to have to see an example. It's going to have to be an example that doesn't change. If we're those types that waver, we're really on fire for a while, and then we're really doubtful and we don't really follow, and then we're on fire for a while, they see that too. That's a bad example. You know, I can remember one point in time we had A couple people that had come out of a bad lifestyle, and they really got on fire for the Lord. And I'm telling you, it was like a magnet. People were just so amazed by what God could do. But a couple of those folks fell back into it. Man, it's a terrible witness when that happens, you know? It discouraged a lot of people. A lot of people who were thinking, well, God must really be real because I can see this happening. Then they're like, is he? Maybe you're one of those people. You've seen people go in and out, and it was very discouraging to you to see those ones that looked like a lot of promise at first, and then they fell back in, and it's like, can God really save people? That was kind of me. I'd seen a couple people proclaim God. I remember one kid that was in my little group of friends, and he was always talking about Jesus there for a while, and then he really fell back and really started acting like a jerk, and he was being really ornery to everybody, and it turned out he was really courting this girl, and she went to this church, so he was talking lingo, trying to impress her. And then whenever he didn't get the girl, he kind of, you know, didn't act so much like that anymore. And it was really discouraging to a guy like me, you know? I was over there trying to figure out, is this thing real? Maybe not. I don't blame him. He was just trying to live life. His brother now is a Christian. I know that for sure. So he listened to the message. Maybe didn't follow the example. I don't know about that gentleman. I haven't seen him for a long time. I hope he's walking with the Lord. But you know what? Whenever it comes down to the fact that it gets to the point that shepherds are those that are dull-hearted, you really need to pray for the shepherds. You know, so today, you know, the word pastor comes from the word shepherd. Pray for the pastors. I know some of you guys pray for me, and I appreciate it. I hope all of you pray for me. But I know some have expressed to me very clearly that they pray for me regularly. I need it. I really need it. Don't you know that the enemy says, boy, if I can make him stumble, I can make a lot of people stumble. There's a target. I mean, he picks on the shepherd's families. He picks on everything about it. And sometimes, even people within the church can really pick on the shepherd, you know, because he's not perfect. And I'm not just talking about our church, so don't worry. I'm not trying to preach from the pulpit about an issue there. I feel really loved in our church. But I've seen some churches. I mean, I sat in deacons' meetings where I saw my pastor cry before because of the way he was being picked on by the other people in church. It's not a pretty sight. You know, we really need to pray that the pastors don't become dull-hearted. There's such a movement in our world today to try to look nice and accepting. Guys, we can accept people coming from all different backgrounds so long as they're confessing their sin and turning their lives over to Christ, but we can't accept the sin and call it okay. We just can't. It's not going to make us very popular, but, you know, if we ever stop preaching the truth, what's going to happen? I like that in verse 21. It says, the shepherds have become dull-hearted in that second part and have not sought the Lord. What does that mean to seek the Lord? It means ask him to teach us so that we can teach others. I had a pastor go back into my office with me one time, and he was making jokes about how that's probably where I go and get a message from God, that God shines down and actually speaks to me from heaven. And at first I thought he was serious, and then he started making a joke out of it. It's like, brother, that's not a joke. If I didn't get something from the Lord, I would not be able to preach. I mean, whenever I read the Bible, I am praying and asking God to show me. And all their flocks shall be scattered. You see, if he can hit the shepherd, he can scatter the flock. And, you know, that's what he tried to do to Jesus, too, wasn't it? Strike the shepherd and scatter the flock. But you know, an undeserved curse would not take root in his life. Praise God, Jesus is perfect. And even though they killed him on the cross, that looked like a defeat at first, but it was the greatest victory of all. He gave up his life. He said, "It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit." Oh, praise God. That was not taken from him. That was given. He said, "You want to kill me? Here, you just watch this. I'll give my life because I'll rise again." Isn't that awesome? We serve a living Savior. The enemy still wants to scatter the flock, though. Just a few more verses here. Verse 22, "Behold, the noise of the report has come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate, a den of jackals. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." Man, now that's a prayer. God, I need your correction, but please do it in justice. Don't just do it in anger. Please don't let me get so far from you that you have to discipline me in anger. Correct me while I'm just a little bit off. Let me be sensitive to your voice. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name, for they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him and consumed him, and made his dwelling place desolate. We are God's people. We are the ones who are engrafted in. I can tell you what will allow evil to take over is if we step aside and let it happen. If we get diluted into the culture, if we become more like the world and begin to look, smell, and act like the rest of the world, that's when we will suffer true judgment. But if we will stand, if we will be true to God, if we will be willing to give up our pride and what people think of us and stand for God, I believe God will use us to bring about a revival. So I don't know how many of you guys know about it, but they've planned a Pride in the Park day for Potosi, Missouri. Pride in the Park. Do you know what June is? Pride Month. They get an entire month to be prideful. What is it that God says about pride? Does anybody know? Pride goes before the fall. It's an abomination to the Lord. Why don't we have a Christian Pride Month? Because pride is bad. We'll boast in the Lord. I've heard some Christians say, "We should have a Pride Month too." It's like, we can't. It would go against what we believe, what God tells us. But I can tell you one thing we can do is we can boast in the Lord. And I think that the whole month of June we should be boasting in the Lord. You know, and I'm not talking about in a prideful way, but just talking him up, telling people what awesome things he's done and how awesome he is the way that he leads us. Our God is so awesome, isn't he? Isn't he so wonderful the way that he treats us? He has such compassion on his people. He has compassion on those that are not yet his people too, you know? And he's drawing them, he's wooing them. So that's going to be on June the 8th at the Potosi City Park. I think it starts like at 10 o'clock. 10 to 4, so it's 6 hours. I think we need to have 6 hours of prayer, don't you think? I think that we should go to the park too. We should pray. I don't think we should go and engage. I don't think we should go and be angry. If somebody does want to talk to us, I will. But I think we should pray. You know what some of the events that they have planned? They're going to have child story time. They're going to have family-friendly games while they have drag queens and drag kings parading around. I don't know how many of those that they have around here. But they're calling them out to come. There's local businesses that are supporting this. And yeah, equal access, I guess they can be there. I don't know about this whole thing of courting the children, though. I have a problem with that. I think that there needs to be some responsible adults there to hold them accountable. And that doesn't mean that, like, I go there with any authority other than the authority of God. How did Jehoshaphat see the battle won? It wasn't by them hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. They just showed up and praised God. I don't know how many of you all would want to be there, but I plan to be there. I plan on having some materials that can be handed to children as well about the right view of how God made us. Because you understand they are trying to deceive and capture the next generation. They're trying to normalize something that God hates. And I think that there needs to be the people of God to pray. And I don't think that we should cower in fear and step back and give them a territory. I'm not going there for a fight. Don't hear me wrong. And I'm telling you, I am praying for everything in me that even if I'm attacked, that I will not fight back. And I mean attacked verbally more than anything. Yes? Yeah. Praying actually does bring about spiritual involvement to bring down the enemy. Now, I think that we need to be in prayer about this, don't you? We don't want to see this normalized in our community, for sure. And we don't want to see children being groomed. And so we really need to pray. And, you know, there's going to be some that are going to say, well, that's just terrible that you feel that way. And you know what? I quite honestly don't care what they think. And we just need to care about what God thinks on this. And we'll just stand lovingly. I love them. Believe me, I am sad to see people so confused that they find themselves in that. So as we end in prayer, that's one of the idols in our nation right now. This idol of sexuality. And it is just, there is no limit to where the sickness that this thing will go to if people continue to make it an idol. Sexuality is kept, by God's definition, is a beautiful thing that's kept within the confines of marriage. And so they've tried to change even the definition of marriage, but that's God who makes the definition of marriage. Sister? Yeah, that's something that Stacy Boyer is organizing, and that was organized even before this. So, yeah, it's good timing. Oh, that's later. Okay, so this was in. Okay, this was a new one. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know. Okay. We can go then, too. Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave that up to each person. Some people might want to go on Wednesday, too, to join the group that's there. So that's good that somebody's calling for prayer. So we'll just continue to keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. God can win. He's the one that wins the battle in the end, and he can win this battle. And so we pray that he will. Does anybody have any prayer requests before we close? Yep. Continue to pray for Leona. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we pray that the idolatry would be torn down in our nation. Lord, there's just such an amazing amount of blessing that you have given our nation. And I believe one of the reasons why you poured it out in such great measure was because of the Christian nature of our nation. It wasn't that we were all Christians, but it had a Christian founding, and the Christian activity that went out from this nation has always been very helpful in the world. Relief efforts, humanitarian efforts, and especially the Christian missionary effort has been just so largely supported by the United States of America. And Lord, we're losing that because we're just really dropping the ball. We're getting distracted, and it's happening in the church. We're waiting for the rest of the world to change, and then we're going to join them from the church because we don't want to be offensive. But ultimately, that change needs to happen in the church first. If judgment comes, it'll start in the household of the Lord. And so, Lord, that's exactly what your word says. If it starts there, how much worse it's going to be for those that are not part of the church. So it's up to us to take this first step. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to be in tune with your spirit. Help us to work in cooperation with you. Help us to not give ground over to the enemy. Help us to pray for those who are captive. And so, Lord, we want to pray for those that are organizing this nonsense at the park. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would change their hearts. Help them, Lord, to be set free from the idolatry that they're caught up in. And I pray that you would help our little community to be one where Christianity is upheld and where the churches are united in worship. And Lord, that we would see many people come to know Jesus in the days to come. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless Leona, continue to uphold her and help her to be delivered from this allergic reaction sickness. I pray for others in our faith community here that are struggling for different reasons. And Lord, I pray that you would deliver them. We pray for family members and loved ones that are lost and hurting. They're hurting themselves in their lostness. I pray that you would help them to be saved. Father, please use us as part of your plan. And I just again pray that you would stop this attempt to enshrine abortion in our constitution of our state. Lord, I pray that people would be awakened to see what this is really about and that you would help people to reject it. And Lord, we love you. We just want to thank you for who you are. Help us to embrace you. You are the true living God. You're the only true living God. And Lord, you're the self-existing one. You didn't need any of us. And so Lord, you chose to create us so that we could have relationship with you. It's for our good. You're awesome. Thank you that you're preparing a place for everybody who has called on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that we will live for that day, that we get to enter into the kingdom that you, in this place that you've prepared for us. Help us to put all of our treasures that are important to us and send them forward into heaven as we build into people's lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.